Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up on What's for Dinner, Sunday dinner, we're going to talk about cooking with cherries and the drink of the week. All this coming up.
When I was a lad, I was a little bit shy. Something came along, caught my eye. When I heard the jazz band strike up, swear I had my mind made up. Now I'm getting older, and everything is in full swing. Now I'm getting bolder, before I got to that thing.
Support for What's for Dinner comes from Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, deli, bakery, and meat department with delivery and van service available. Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. Good afternoon and welcome to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. Sometimes I cook real flops. Here's what I cooked up this week and some of the things I cooked up this weekend. Seems like I spent a lot of time in the kitchen lately, and I don't mind that. I love cooking. And then, of course, been out in the garden too. So that's fun, and outside and having fun. So I'm getting a little bit of all of it in. Let's see. Oh, baked some salmon this week a couple different times. Somebody gave me a sockeye salmon, so I had one side one night, one side another night. It was great. So one night, I baked a side of salmon, of course, in one pan. Remember, I talked about that last week or the week before. I can't remember, but one pan meals. Baked salmon with a buttermilk garlic basil sauce and roasted green beans, topped with some fresh super greens. You know what the super greens are in the grocery store. And that was delicious. Also, I did another side of baked salmon with a sesame lime dressing and roasted beach asparagus right off the beach. And then some rice to go with that. That was good, too. And then also made some galettes this weekend. I'm going to give you the recipe for my apricot galette with a saffron glaze and pistachios. And then yesterday, for Father's Day, I made a bacon crab and beach asparagus quiche. That was delicious. And in fact, I had some leftovers for lunch. It was very, very good. Let's start off with the salmon. Winging it at night when I had the salmon, opened it up, and there it was in the refrigerator, so I had to cook it. Took a half a side of salmon, put it on a cookie sheet or a jelly roll pan. It has the little lip on it. The cookie sheets are flat. And a little bit of olive oil, just a little drizzle of olive oil on the salmon. Also salt. This is a salt blend that I've been using so much. But salt, it has some garlic, it has some red pepper flakes in it, Chinese red pepper flakes. Did I say garlic? Yes. And some black pepper. And since I use those so much, I just decided last week to make a blend with them, and I've been using it all the time. Also, I just decided I wanted a little bit of something different, a little bit of different spice on the salmon. So I took a little bit of cinnamon, cumin, a few other flavors like that. You know, spice it up a little bit and sprinkle some of that on there. Just a little bit different, because I found some buttermilk in the refrigerator and I thought this is going to be perfect with some different spices. A little curry and delicious. But so sprinkle a little bit of that on there, maybe a little bit more garlic, and then I had some green beans, and very quickly I just put the green beans in a pan with a little bit of water and just steamed them for a few minutes, just a few minutes, and then drizzled those with some olive oil and put them alongside the salmon right in the same pan. Stuck it in the oven on 350 and roasted all of it together. While it was roasting, I got out the buttermilk that I had in the refrigerator. I probably had a cup of buttermilk left. I used a little bit of, just a little bit of mayonnaise, just for a little more tang on that. And then I added some garlic bulbs, some fresh basil, some salt, pepper, and a little bit of onion, and put that through the food processor. Actually, I pureed mine with the blender, and I made a nice buttermilk garlic basil sauce. So when the pan came out of the oven, when the salmon was done, I just spread just a nice line going down the salmon of the buttermilk garlic basil sauce. Not too much. I mean, I didn't want it slathered with this. Then you can't even taste the fish sometimes when it's just slathered with all that. But I just a little line down the middle, and then I put on top just those nice greens. While everything was still warm, I just sprinkled it over the top of everything, and then they just kind of loosened up a little bit and got a little limp, and perfect. So you can just take that whole pan and put it right on the table and serve from there. It looked great. So it was good. I enjoy the leftovers too. It was perfect. I had leftover garlic basil buttermilk sauce for salads or whatever I want to use it for coming up. It'll keep for a little while in the refrigerator. And then another night last week, I did another side of salmon, baked it just like that, but I used sesame lime dressing, and I didn't make it homemade this time. I was in a hurry, so I used a sesame lime dressing that I love that's from Ginger People. So it's got ginger in it too. And if you haven't seen that, give it a try. I just love everything that the Ginger People make. So a little bit of sesame lime ginger dressing on the side of salmon on the jelly roll pan. I also had some beach asparagus. So some nice person gave us a huge bag of beach asparagus, which I love. And we haven't been out on the water or to a beach where there has been some. So this is a super treat. Beach asparagus keeps for so long in your refrigerator in a Ziploc bag, you know, because it's so salty. And it just keeps really, really well. So when I have it, I can use it for everything. In fact, just stir frying it a little bit, and you can add a little soy sauce to it, and that on some rice or mixed with some buckwheat noodles. Great. You know, I've been wanting to make a pesto out of it and just haven't done it yet, but I have a whole bunch left. A little bit goes a long way. But I just like the green beans, I just tossed them in a little bit of oil, but I used sesame oil this time. And I didn't put any salt on the beach asparagus because it is salty. And put that in the oven, baked it, delicious. And the beach asparagus, some of it was a little crunchy because they're very small, little thin pieces. So perfect. And that was a nice meal. I had a little leftover salmon from that for lunch today, and it was very good. Also, I used some of that beach asparagus this weekend in my quiche. I love a quiche with asparagus in it. And, asparagus, the price of asparagus is going way up again because it's out of season. And so used the beach asparagus, and it was so good. you know, my basic creamy recipe for a quiche, I start off with some bacon. That's what I had in the fridge. I had some crab in the freezer, and I took that out and thawed it out. Cleaned crab that was in some Ziploc bags, and you don't want to let that get too old. So just brown the bacon, cut it into pieces, brown it up. I added quite a few shallots that I had, and then once the bacon was crisp, add the shallots, and then I added the crab to the pan too, and just kind of stirred it all together a little bit, and then let it cool off. You can strain some of the bacon too if you don't want all that bacon grease. I didn't use hardly any salt in this dish because I was using beach asparagus. So I just chopped the beach asparagus up and added that to the mixture as well. And once that cooled, then I could add the cheese to it. But in the meantime, I just used a basic pie dough recipe. I had pie dough in my fridge. So it's one reason I made a quiche. I needed to use up that pie dough. But just your basic pie dough recipe, if you want to buy a pie dough, that's just fine. And I like the deeper dish pie plates, so it was nice. I had a couple of those sitting around. Put your pie dough in your pie pan, finish off the edges the way you like it, and you take your bacon, your crab, the beach asparagus, or anything else that you've sautéed together. And I do like to sauté them. I don't like to put uncooked vegetables in a quiche. So put all that together along with a cup and a half or so of shredded Swiss cheese. You could use cheddar. You could use any kind of cheese you wanted. I always use Swiss, and if I can find Swiss Lorraine, which doesn't happen very often here in town, I may have bought it once. And a lot of times it's sliced for sandwiches, but if I can find that, I do. You can also use Gruyere, very expensive, but delicious. So about a cup and a half of cheese, and mix that up as well and put it into your pie plate with your pie dough. And then I make the custard with, I think yesterday I used 5 eggs and a couple of cups of cream, a teaspoon of Bojie's mustard, some red pepper flakes, a little dash of cayenne, and some black pepper. I didn't add any salt to that because of the bacon and the beach asparagus. And pour that into your pie plate, bake on 350 until it's nice and puffed and golden. And it does need to be puffed in the middle. If it's not, if it doesn't puff up, then it's not done. And once you take it out, let it sit for just a little bit. And don't try to cut it right away. You need to let it all mesh together and calm down, cool off, and then you can cut it, and it'll cut nicely, and it'll taste delicious. Always good served with some fresh greens, fruit, of course, but we also had yesterday morning apricot galette. Actually, I made an apricot plum galette yesterday morning. I had leftover dough from making galettes this weekend to sell at the market. So I made, and of course, I always make stuff and I never have enough for home. And then I'm like, oh, I wish I had this loaf of bread for myself. Anyway, I did have leftover ingredients to make some more galettes. So I did, I had an apricot galette. And this one I made, put plums in. The nice thing about galettes is you can use whatever you want for a galette. And it doesn't matter if you don't know how to make a good pie crust because, you know, it just calls for one pie crust and you don't even have to lift it and put it in the plate. So it is kind of easy. And they are delicious. And what I like about these galettes is that the crust can get nice and crunchy underneath. And if you just use some parchment paper, it really makes it easy. So start off with a good crust recipe, and I used just a basic pie crust recipe, but I used butter instead of, you know, your vegetable stick or your Crisco. I used butter and then also a couple tablespoons of sugar in with the mixture. And then, of course, you use salt. And you mix it just the same way you do any other pie crust. You start with the salt and the sugar and the butter and the flour and combine them together and form the crumb. And then you add your ice water to it. So just the same sort of way. And then once again, and then you pull it all together and you form it into a ball. And you know it's done. It has enough water when you can form it into a ball. And then you flatten it out into a disc, put it in some plastic wrap, and let it sit for about an hour in the refrigerator. A lot of times pie crusts only need to sit for about 20 minutes. But these galette crusts, you want them to sit in the refrigerator for about an hour. And in the meantime, you can be cutting up your apricots. And you know, you might want large pieces of apricots, or you can use smaller pieces. When I'm making them, I cut the apricot in half, and then in half again. So the apricots are in fourths, and these are smaller apricots. So cut up some apricots, and maybe you might need 9 or 10 if you're making a bigger galette, 9 or 10, maybe a dozen. Also, you need some apricot preserves, so they could be homemade preserves that you made last year, possibly, or you can just buy some apricot preserves. You also need to have a little bit of flour. You need to have some ground almonds and about a half of a cup of ground almonds, maybe not even that much. And then I like to use raw sugar for this recipe. So you take about a quarter cup of raw sugar, a half a cup of ground almonds, and a couple, maybe a tablespoon of flour, and you mix it together in a bowl. And once you've rolled out your galette dough, you roll it out into a nice big circle, and you don't have to worry about the edges being smooth, but you do want it to be a circle, and it can be bigger than probably one of your bigger plates, maybe even a serving platter size. And if it's smaller than that, that's fine too. And then you take that mixture of your sugar, flour, and ground almonds, and you spread that over your dough. And you leave a couple inches around the outside, because those are the parts of the dough that you fold over to make the galette. So you're going to need that. Also, you're going to take a couple, I would say a half a cup of your apricot preserves, and put those in a pan, put that in a pan, and heat it on low. And it's going to start to melt a little bit and become thinner. And I added about a pinch of saffron threads to it. If you don't like saffron, you don't need to do this. If you don't have saffron and you don't want to go out and buy it, it's okay. This is just an extra flavor. But man, is it so good with the apricot. So that little pinch of saffron is so delicious. Maybe you can think of something else you'd like to have in there too, possibly a little bit of mint. I just went with the saffron and called it good. And so you have your crumbled mixture, your flour, sugar, almonds. You have your preserves with saffron on the stove. You have your dough. You've rolled that out. And I told you to go ahead and put your crumbled mixture down first, but don't do that. Erase that if you're writing it down. You want to put your preserves down first. So put your preserves with your saffron down first, and then a sprinkle on your crumble mixture. And the reason I like to put the crumble mixture down is because when the apricots or whatever fruit you're using starts to release its juices, it's like that mixture just kind of soaks it up and becomes nice and thick. I love that. And then, you know, that apricot mixture underneath it, it's just a little extra layer of goodness. And then you place your apricots. You can make them look really nice, or you can just throw them on and spread them out, however you want to do it. Once that's done, I sprinkle them with a little more raw sugar. And that's good. You start folding over the edges and you kind of fold them, you know, a little at a time so they have a nice little, you know, ruffle look to it. And you're still on the parchment here. I just rolled it right on the parchment. You can take the parchment, pick it up, put it onto a baking sheet, put it in the oven on 350 and bake it for about 50 minutes. And that's just perfect. It doesn't take long for this fruit to start to bubble. And the nice thing about a galette is the fruit is so intense in these. And if you know, try not to put too much sugar because they really intensify. And it's so delicious to just taste that fruit. And after about 50 minutes, check on it. Make sure the edges don't get too brown. Bring it out. And then a little more of that glaze on top. Just a little spoonful here and there. Another sprinkle of sugar so they've got the granules on there. And then I crushed some pistachios and sprinkled some pistachios on top. I love pistachios, apricot, saffron together. So perfect. I absolutely loved it. It was delicious. And that's a pretty easy way to make something delicious with fruit. You can make them with blackberries. You can make them with blueberries, any fruit, peaches, nectarines, apples, strawberries. Just make sure you have something underneath that is going to soak up some of that juice. Or you can take your fruit like you do a pie, mix it with some sugar and some flour, and then pour it all on. And that as the fruit starts to break down and release juice, then that flour is going to thicken up. Perhaps you use cornstarch, that's fine too. So there you have it, that's a galette. And when I made mine yesterday, I actually added some plums and some apricots. But I did everything else the same. The saffron glaze, the pistachios. So delicious. And, you know what would be really good with that? Cherries as well, a cherry galette. And that is on my list next, because you know what we're going to talk about today on What's for Dinner? I'm going to give you some cherry recipes. They're so good right now. And if you're like me, you put them on the table in the kitchen or out in the living room and everyone just kind of eats them one right after another. But I'm going to, you know, put on my list here next week. I'm actually going to make, because cherries are getting cheaper and they're going to be cheaper for a little while. And so now is the time to make some great things with them. And I've got some good recipes for you to try here that aren't just desserts. You can actually use some of the cherries with meats for barbecue sauces and, of course, ice cream. Yee! Coming up. That's out next on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Inga's Galley, open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 8, serving locally grown food and fresh-caught seafood, including sandwiches, curries, kebabs, and salads. Beer and wine available, 772-2090.
What's that you say? Oh man, no way.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Today we're talking about cherries, Bing cherries, Rainier cherries, all those lovely cherries that are coming to us from Washington, Oregon. They are delicious, and I just can't get enough of them, you know? It's like every time we turn around, we have a new bag at home, and so good. So I've got some different recipes we know we can make cherry cobbler and cherry pies and cherry this and cherry that. And of course, we could just eat them one by one. But, you know, let's talk about, you know, actually cutting these cherries up and putting them in some recipes. So here we have, I got this one from Cooking Light. This is a salad with cherries, all the things I love right here in one salad. You probably love them too. Cherries, goat cheese, pistachios. Delicious. And then there's even more arugula, baby spinach, red onion, honey. We just love all of these ingredients. And that's what's so nice about this time of the year. You know, you could have salmon a couple nights that's fresh. You've got fresh, great produce. It's like a candy store at the grocery stores right now and at Chelan. And when Farragut comes, you just don't know. There's so much. And it's all so good. So we try to incorporate it into our food. And, you know, there's no reason that we have to live off box meals, because it's not hard to make good food with fresh ingredients. So getting back to the salad, this salad with cherries, goat cheese, and pistachios, yum. Maybe you don't like fruit salad, but just the bite of cherries in this, you know, nice and sweet, and just this burst of juiciness, and the peppery greens with that tangy cheese. So, Rainier cherries for this one, the orange with a little bit of cream and white, and that some of that darkness to it. So perfect. So here you go. This is going to serve four cups of arugula, 2 cups of baby spinach, 1/3 cup of thinly vertically sliced red onion, 1.5 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, 1/2 teaspoon of Dijon mustard, 1/2 teaspoon of honey, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, 1 small clove of garlic minced, 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, 1 cup of pitted halved fresh Rainier cherries, 1 ounce of crumbled goat cheese, about 1/4 cup, and 1/4 cup of salted dry roasted pistachios. And that's the thing right there, those pistachios, they're pretty spendy, but, you know, I buy a big bag and then I have them. I don't leave them sit out where I'm going to grab handfuls of them and eat. I try not to do that. And that way I have them when I need them for ingredients. So, first thing you do, combine the arugula, spinach, and onion in a large bowl. So easy. Then combine the lemon juice, the mustard, the honey, the salt, the black pepper, and the garlic in a medium bowl. Whisk it around with a whisk, and then gradually drizzle in the olive oil, stirring constantly with your whisk. Then drizzle that dressing over the salad and toss gently to coat. Arrange 1.5 cups of salad on each 4 salad plates. Top with 1/4 cup of cherries, 1 tablespoon of cheese, and 1 tablespoon of nuts. Delicious. Or you can just put it all on a platter and arrange it nicely. Very good. And then people can take what they want. That's such an easy, delicious salad. And of course, you can substitute the cherries for other fruit. You know, some big blackberries would be good with that. Done that before. And other berries. Strawberries would be good. You know, we all have had strawberries in our salads, but the cherries are quite the treat this time of the year. So that's starting off with our first course, the salad. But what about some cherry salsa? I've had some amazing raspberry salsas, mango salsas, blueberry salsas, and now here's your cherry salsa. So 4 cups of cherries, stemmed, pitted, and chopped, and you could go with Rainier cherries and Bing cherries. Dark cherries, light cherries, you know, the mix will be nice with this. 4 cups, stemmed, pitted, and chopped. 8 green onions, and so many recipes say like the white parts only, but I love the green parts. just not the green parts at the very, very end, but at the top. But I do like the all of the green onion. One cup of chopped fresh cilantro, a quarter cup of lemon juice or lime juice, one jalapeno pepper, minced, seeds removed, unless you really want the heat, then you can keep the seeds in, a clove of garlic minced, and some salt and pepper to taste. So you just mix all the ingredients in a mixing bowl until well combined, and season with salt and pepper there at the end, and serve. And absolutely delicious. Cherries and lime, yum. And cherries and lemon, of course, delicious. You can eat this with really good on barbecued chicken or barbecued salmon. And it depends how small you cut the cherry pieces up. If you had huge pieces of cherry, it would be different than having the smaller pieces of cherry and your salsa to be a little more fine. So maybe on fish we would like it to be a little more fine, and chicken. Also on grilled shrimp, delicious. You could make a shrimp kebab and then put that on a plate and drizzle it with a little bit of this cherry salsa. Or how about some pork chops, grilled pork chops, or even a grilled pork loin or roasted pork loin. You can cut it up into slices, put it on a platter, and then drizzle some of this cherry salsa right over the top of it. And because it's salsa, of course, we could eat it with tacos, and you can take a different spin on your tacos, and just, you could do a halibut taco, a grilled halibut taco, and with a corn tortilla, and put the cherry salsa on it. It would be so good. Or you could just eat it with chips, and that would be good too. So many things that you could do with this cherry salsa, and eat it with so many foods. Of course, it would be really good on lamb. Mm-hmm. Super good. Grilled lamb chops and cherry salsa. Now that gets me hungry. And so I mentioned that, but you can also make a barbecue sauce. So you could use this barbecue sauce on steaks. You could put a little bit on burgers, baste the burgers with them, you know, to give it a nice tart sweetness. This one came from Joshua Bussell. He's a contributor of Serious Eats, and he came up with this recipe. This makes about 2 cups, and this will be so good to have in the refrigerator. It can take on just about anything, like chicken, ribs, burgers. So here's a recipe. Couple tablespoons of butter, 1 medium yellow onion, 2 medium cloves of minced garlic, 2 cups of tomato sauce, 1.5 cups of roughly chopped pitted cherries. He put frozen down on here because maybe he got them from the grocery store frozen, but and you can certainly do that. You can buy a whole bunch of cherries if you think they're going to be the cheapest that you're going to get them, and lay them out on cookie sheets and freeze them and put them in Ziploc bags, you know, after you've cut them, and save them for the winter. 2/3 cup of dark brown sugar, 1/3 cup of freshly squeezed orange juice, 1/4 cup of molasses, 1/4 cup of cider vinegar, all these things that normally go into a really good barbecue sauce, 1 teaspoon of ancho chili powder, 1/2 teaspoon of dry mustard, 2 teaspoons of salt, 2 teaspoons of freshly ground pepper, white pepper here, and 1/8 teaspoon of cayenne, ground cayenne. Melt the butter in your medium saucepan over medium heat. Add your onion. Let it cook until softened about 5 minutes. Then add garlic and cook until fragrant about 30 seconds. Add the tomato sauce, the cherries, the brown sugar, the orange juice, molasses, cider vinegar, ancho chili powder, mustard, salt, white pepper, and cayenne. Stir it all together to combine and bring it to a boil, and then lower it down and simmer until thickened about 30 minutes. That's all you do. Stir it occasionally. transfer, let it cool. Transfer the sauce to your blender. Blend until smooth. Let it cool to room temp and transfer to a jar and store in the refrigerator for up to a month. Or you could process it in a water bath for 20 minutes. And you can keep it for a little while. So there you have it. Great on burgers, delicious with some caramelized onions and cheese, maybe a little bit of bacon. That would be good. Really good with all sorts of things. And that is a cherry barbecue sauce. If you've ever made a barbecue sauce with cherries, give us a call here at the radio station, 772-3808. We'd like to hear the cherry barbecue sauce story that you might have. Or if you have a really good cherry recipe you want to share, give us a call. In the meantime, I'm going to continue on with a couple of these other great recipes. So since we were talking about salsa and we're talking about the barbecue sauce, now I just have to share with you this recipe. This is, to me, this is an ultimate recipe. I love ribeye steaks. Of course, we don't eat them very often. They're pretty expensive right now. But it's nice for a special occasion to get out a good steak. If you don't have a ribeye, you could use any steak. You could use flank steak for this. It would be delicious. This is a cherry balsamic ribeyes with gorgonzola sauce. So they're sea-salted ribeyes with a cherry balsamic barbecue balm and gorgonzola grill sauce. This is from Mississippi Kitchen. The name of her site, and her name is Lori, and I love her cooking. So I'm sharing your recipe, Lori. And you need 1.5 cups of heavy cream to make the sauce, to make the gorgonzola cheese sauce. 3/4 cup of crumbled gorgonzola cheese, and 1/2 cup of shredded Parmesan cheese. 3 tablespoons of fresh chives, finely chopped. So that's for the sauce. And then you need some pitted cherries. And you need to have the pitted cherries in heavy syrup. So you can make your own. Just throw the pitted cherries into your saucepan, add some sugar, cook them down, and before you know it, you're going to have your pitted cherries and heavy syrup. And if you want to make this when you don't have cherries, well, you can buy the cherries and syrup. That's fine too. Also, a couple tablespoons of balsamic vinegar always goes good with beef and cherries. 1/3 cup of light brown sugar, 2 garlic cloves coarsely chopped, 6 boneless ribeye steaks, 8 to 10 ounces each, cut 1 inch thick. Some coarse sea salt for seasoning, coarse black pepper for seasoning, olive or vegetable oil to grease the grill rack, and then some fresh chives for garnish if desired. So here you go, all the things we love. Preheat a gas grill to medium-high heat. Place the heavy cream in a fireproof medium-heavy bottom saucepan with a lid and place it on the grill. Close the grill lid. You can do this also on your stovetop. Bring it to a boil and let it cook for 10 to 15 minutes. Remove from heat and whisk in the gorgonzola and the Parmesan cheese until melted and smooth, and then stir in the chives. Cover and set it aside. Meanwhile, process the cherries and syrup, the balsamic vinegar, light brown sugar, and chopped garlic cloves in a food processor or blender until smooth. And you could probably use honey as well. You could just substitute. Baste both sides of all the steaks with this cherry balm. Pour the remaining balm in another medium-heavy saucepan with a lid. Place it on the grill over medium-high heat. Close the grill lid and bring it to a boil. Let it cook for 5 to 10 minutes until the sugar dissolves and the mixture reduces and thickens slightly. Give it a whisk every now and then. Then remove the balm from the grill and let it cool until the steaks are done cooking. And with this cherry balm and the steaks and the caramelization on the grill, the This is amazing. While the sauces are cooking, season the steaks generously on both sides with sea salt and black pepper, pressing it into the steaks. Coat the grill with oil and place the steaks on the grill over medium heat. Close the lid. Cook for 6 to 8 minutes on each side for medium rare, which is 145, or until desired doneness is reached. Try not to flip-flop them. Just turn them once. Then to serve, you spoon a pool of gorgonzola sauce onto each plate, top with the steak, drizzle the tops of each steak with the reduced cherry balm, and serve with the steaks garnished with some fresh chives. And that would be so good with a green salad. Yum, with actually some fresh cherries in it. And that serves six. So that would be a very special dinner party, I think. That would be, you know, it'd be fun if you could even just put on a, I know Marjorie has her rhubarb party every year, but you could actually do the Rainier cherry party. That would be fun. You can make steaks like that. So getting on to the sweeter things just a little bit here. This is pretty light and satisfying, and it goes really great with, like, maybe some ricotta cheese or some vanilla Greek yogurt. You could also put this on ice cream. So orange and basil macerated cherries. I love using herbs like basil, thyme, rosemary, mint. I love using herbs like that on fruit. If you have never tried it, it's a delicious way to go. So here you need 1 pound of fresh cherries pitted, a couple or 1 tablespoon of firmly packed orange zest, which is a lot, but delicious. 2 tablespoons of fresh orange juice, 2 tablespoons of dark brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of chopped fresh basil, and 1/8 teaspoon of kosher salt, also ricotta cheese. So cut half of the cherries in half crosswise, place whole cherries and cherry halves in a large bowl, and zest, add the zest and the next, all the other ingredients, tossing to coat, cover and chill for 1 hour. That's it. Remove the cherries from the refrigerator, let them stand for 10 minutes, a spoon over ricotta cheese, and serve immediately. This would really be good on a panna cotta, like a vanilla panna cotta, or even an orange panna cotta. So very, very good. Whole cherries and some cherry halves, and it just, yum, just very easy to do, and the kids would love this. And it's just a good way to really enjoy the cherries. Easy dessert when you have people over. I've got, of course, I love buttermilk, so I found this recipe for buttermilk glazed cherry sheet cake. It's pretty easy. I love these kind of sheet cakes. It reminds me of the blueberry dessert that I was talking about a couple weeks ago. This one uses butter, granulated sugar, and eggs, lemon juice, almond extract, baking powder, salt, pretty much the same stuff as my blueberry dessert, and 3.5 cups of flour, a cup of milk, 3 cups of fresh cherries pitted and halved, and then 1/2 cup plus 2 tablespoons of powdered sugar and 3 tablespoons of buttermilk to make the glaze. Preheat your oven to 325. You're going to beat the butter until fluffy and add your sugar, which is 2 cups. Beat until blended, then add your eggs 1 at a time and beat after each addition. Scrape the bowl. Then add your lemon juice and your almond extract and beat until blended. Increase speed to medium-high and beat 1 to 2 minutes or until pale yellow. Then you're going to, the baking powder, the salt, 3.5 cups of flour, add it to the butter mixture alternately with some milk. And then beat it at low speed until it's nice and blended. Then line the bottom and sides of a 9x13 pan with aluminum foil. Grease with butter and flour. Pour the batter into the prepared pan. Toss the cherries and remaining 2 tablespoons of flour and 2 teaspoons of granulated sugar. scatter that over the batter and then bake it for an hour at 325. So very easy. Whisk together the powdered sugar and the buttermilk, drizzle over the cake, let it stand until the glaze sets about 5 minutes. Lift the cake from the pan. So you could do the same thing. You could put the cherries inside of it too. This is almost the same exact recipe as the blueberry dessert. You could put half the batter down. You could use your cherry filling that you've made, spread it around the top, or spread it around, and then add the rest of your batter on top. Bake it, and then put your glaze on too. So that's one sweet one. But I have to say, I think I left one of the best ones for last, because we've got to try this. If you're an ice cream fan, this a fan from chocolatemousse.com is a candied cherry and bacon chocolate chip ice cream. And it calls for the candied cherries, which, you know, the candied cherries we buy in the store, they're like those maraschino ones. But you can make your own candied cherries just by using like a pound of fresh cherries, pitted, a couple cups of sugar, half a cup of water, half a cup of fresh lemon juice, and a cup of apple juice. And you bring the sugar and water to a boil and add the cherries and the lemon. It's not a half a cup of lemon juice. It's a half of a fresh lemon. Add the cherries and the lemon half. Reduce it to heat and cook until the syrup is red and slightly thick, about 20 minutes. And let that stand about 2 to 3 hours. Or you can let it stand overnight. Then you strain the cherries, reserving the syrup, and set them aside. Get rid of the lemon half and add the apple juice to the reserved syrup. Then you bring the syrup back to a boil and cook it down for another 5 minutes. Return the cherries to the syrup. Reduce and heat and cook slowly until the syrup is thick. And then remove it to heat and cool. And there your cherries can be stored in a tightly covered container for at least 6 months in the refrigerator. But they're not going to last that long. So this is kind of a two-part process. You can look up candied cherries, and there's all sorts of recipes for it. But this candied cherry and bake it in chocolate chip ice cream. For the ice cream, a cup of heavy whipping cream and a half a cup of whole milk, a couple tablespoons of sugar, and a quarter cup of brown sugar. So you're making like a brown sugar base for this. And if you're somebody who likes ice cream, it would be almost like if you've ever made chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, it uses a brown sugar base. I don't like cookie dough ice cream, so I never make it, but brown sugar base is a good one. Also, you need some salt, pinch of salt, a couple egg yolks, a half a teaspoon of vanilla extract, a half a cup of cooked bacon, chopped, and a quarter cup of semi-sweet chocolate chips. And if you could have those really nice chocolate semi-sweet flakes, that would be even better. So, to make your ice cream base, you pour a half a cup of cream into a medium heat-proof bowl and set it in an ice bath. Place a strainer on top. In a medium saucepan, heat the remaining half a cup of cream, the milk, the sugars, and the salt until the sugars have dissolved. Then you whisk your egg yolks in a small bowl and slowly whisk in the warm milk mixture. Then pour it all back into the saucepan. Cook over medium heat, stirring constantly until the mixture thickens and coats the back of the spoon. Temperature like 160, 165. Remove it from the heat, pour through the strainer into the reserved cream, and stir. Whisk in the vanilla, let it cool in the ice bath until room temperature. So some of the cream you didn't cook with the eggs. You mix it all together. Then you cover the bowl with a lid or plastic wrap and refrigerate until cold. Once it's cold, you place the custard into an ice cream maker and freeze according to the directions. Or you put the bowl in the freezer and you whisk every 30 to 45 minutes to break up the ice crystals. And then when it's just about done and it's a few minutes away from being completed, then you can stir in the reserved half a cup of candied cherries, the chopped bacon, and the chocolate chips. Candied cherry and bacon chocolate chip ice cream. I wish someone would just show up with one. There you go. And that's it. Coming up next, we have the drink of the week. And yes, it might have cherries in it. That's coming up next on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave Incorporated, celebrating 50 years in Petersburg with a 50th birthday bash, Thursday through Saturday this week. A beer garden, hot dog cookout, live music, open mic, dance party, and 80s night. Keto's Cave Incorporated, celebrating 50 years. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. It's time for the drink of the week. And, of course, searching for these great cherry recipes, I came across this one. Never had one of these. It's a cherry margarita. And make most of your cherry season with this margarita made with fresh cherries, lime, and tequila. And if you don't want to use tequila, you can always use some sort of a spritzer or something and make it non-alcohol. Okay, for the homemade margarita mix, you need a quarter cup of lime juice, a quarter cup of water, and 2 tablespoons of sugar or the equivalent in your favorite sweetener. Could be agave nectar. And, and then for the margarita, you need your homemade margarita mix, which is the lime, the water, and the sugar, 24 cherries, 3 ounces of tequila, 2 ounces of orange liqueur, 2 ounces of blackberry liqueur. That's optional. And then you can stir together the sugar and the water over medium heat just until the sugar has completely dissolved and the mixture is clear to make your syrup. Stir in the lime juice and pour into a blender. Pit the cherries and place in the blender. Add the tequila, the orange liqueur, the blackberry liqueur if you're using. And blend for 15 to 20 seconds and pour through a fine sieve into a pitcher. Use a rubber spatula to work the mixture around, getting as much of the liquid out of your blender as possible. And push through the strainer. Pour the strained margarita over ice and enjoy. Now, if that isn't a summery drink, I don't know what is. That sounds delicious. And like I said, you could make your own cherry concoction with a little bit of spritzer instead. And that's it for What's for Dinner today. I'm excited. And guess what? There's cherries galore in the grocery stores. Chelan's coming this week. It's going to be fun. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining me today. We'll be back next week with more recipes and ideas. Happy cooking and happy eating. Coming up at 4 o'clock, it's All Things Considered.